Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 3rd through Sunday, October 9th, 2022. The commentaries this week were written by Mallard W. Benton, a husband, father, and grandfather, and friend who is retired and writes and volunteers in the Atlanta area. He and his wife Althea have been married for 42 years. The commentary begins for October 3rd with the following verse from Luke chapter 6, verse 40. A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. As Boy Scout leaders, one of our objectives was to encourage and help the Scouts move from the rank of Scout through Tenderfoot and Second Class to First Class Scout within a year of their joining the troop. The understanding was that what they would learn and master in that year through hiking, camping, cooking, patrol organization, service projects, troop meetings, courts of honor, and other special events would prepare them to move from students to teachers. Seeing these young men gain confidence in their abilities and eventually take on leadership positions in the troop and in their school and other activities was always uplifting. Similarly, as a manager in business, I found my job infinitely more rewarding when I could mentor employees so that they could gain enough mastery to teach others. So, as Jesus would have us understand, the answer to whether we are fully qualified to teach is simple. Yes, I am. Yes, we are. The complete scripture for this day is from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 49. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out this speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. when the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. And the moving forward question for this day is, when you have been a teacher, when have you been a teacher in the faith, and when have you been a student? Now we'll look at the commentary for Tuesday, October 4th. It begins with Acts 23, verse 16. Now the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, so he went and gained entrance to the barracks and told Paul. Amid the intrigue surrounding Paul and a plot to kill him, we meet his nephew, the son of his sister. Wait, what? Paul had a sister? What about the rest of his family? My wife often quotes her mother, who are his people. This is important because who your people are can say something about who you are. And like Paul and his nephew, you, who are your people, can provide an early alert system. For us today, that system might be asking hard questions. Are you sure that's the right decision? Do you really want to go that far away to college? Are you going down the wrong path? Our people often have our backs, sometimes without us even knowing it. Perhaps a relative notices you are struggling and prays daily for you. Or maybe a family member puts in a good word with a prospective employee or community member. In Paul's case, with so much on the line, his relative's intervention was a lifesaver. And now we'll read the complete verse from Acts 23, verses 12 to 24, the plot to kill Paul. In the morning, the Jews joined in a conspiracy and bound themselves by an oath neither to drink nor eat until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who joined in this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the council must notify the tribune to bring him down to you on the pretext that you want to make a more thorough examination of his case. And we are ready to do away with him before he arrives." Now the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, so he went and gained entrance to the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to report to him." So he took him, brought him to the tribune, and said, "The prisoner Paul called me and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to tell you." The tribune took him by the hand, drew him aside privately, and asked, "What is it that you have to report to me?" He answered, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more thoroughly into his case. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him. They have bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they kill him. They are all ready now and are waiting for your consent." So the tribune dismissed the young man, ordering him, "Tell no one that you have informed me of this." Then he summoned two of the centurions and said, "Get ready to leave by 9 o'clock tonight for Caesarea with 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and take him safely to Felix, the governor." And the moving forward question for this day is there a family member who could use your support? If so, how can you help? Now the commentary for Wednesday, October 5th. It begins with the book of Micah in the Old Testament. chapter 2, verse 12. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the survivors of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture. It will resound with its people. Today, with so many people on the move because of wars and political turmoil, climate extremes, lack of economic opportunities, religious intolerance, persecution, injustice, and more, these lines from Micah offer some hope. The litany of societal wrongs in biblical times, evil deeds, jealousy, theft, oppression, bitterness, are familiar to us today. And our hope, like theirs, is certainly in the Lord. Setting today's refugees, asylum seekers, and migrants like sheep in a fold calls on us to enact God's saving hope for His people, to be the light in the darkness. Like the survivors of Israel, these flocks need pastures where they can flourish and resound. What might this look like? Well, temporary shelter in unused safe spaces, community meals after Sunday services, regular clothing drives, invitations to join us at a community club or social meetings. We can start with small acts, but the key is that we start. Now the full scripture from this day is from Micah chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Alas for those who devise wickedness and evil deeds on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it is in their power. They covet fields and seize them, houses and take them away. They oppress householder and house, people and their inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, now I am devising against this family an evil from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be an evil time. On that day they shall take up a taunt song against you, and wail with bitter lamentation, and say, we are utterly ruined. The Lord alters the inheritance of my people. How he removes it from me! Among our captors he parcels out our fields. Therefore you will have no one to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not preach. Thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Is the Lord's patience exhausted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to one who walks uprightly? But you rise up against my people as an enemy. You strip the robe from the peaceful, from those who pass by trustingly with no thought of war. The women of my people you drive out from their pleasant houses. From their young children you take away my glory forever. Arise and go, for this is no place to rest, because of uncleanness that destroys with a grievous destruction. If someone were to go about uttering empty falsehood, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, such a one would be the preacher for this people. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the survivors of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture. It will resound with people. The one who breaks out will go up before them. They will break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. And the moving forward question for today is, do you know about the work of Episcopal Migration Ministries? Research that and explore how you might help with this group or some other group associated with your own faith tradition. The commentary for Thursday, October 6th, begins as follows with Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, I am not proud. I have no haughty looks. I do not occupy myself with great matters or with things that are too hard for me. For the past several years, I've researched my and my wife's family histories, discovering and documenting lives, relationships, high points of success, and very low points of slavery, poverty, and medical distress. Common threads weaving through these African-American experiences are humility, hard work, interdependence of family and neighbors, and the search for a safer, more rewarding life for children and grandchildren. There doesn't seem to have been the space, most times, to occupy themselves with great matters, though things that were hard seem to have been the regular pattern of many lives. What becomes clearer and clearer to me as I research these lives is that the Lord walks with us through very difficult times, with seemingly no end to the troubles we're facing. Jesus makes the point of eating with sinners because we're all sinners. No need for pride or haughty looks, just faith in the loving Lord. Now, the gospel passage for this day related to this commentary is from the New Testament, from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And this is entitled, A Sinful Woman Forgiven. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, You have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love, but the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The moving forward question for this day, what are the patterns of faith and life in your family history? Do some research or talk to your elders to learn more. The commentary for Friday, October 7th, begins as follows with Luke 8, verse 14. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. I believe Jesus would appreciate the signs I've seen at some church exits, such as "You are about to enter the mission field," or one I saw recently, "The church is outside these walls." Jesus shares the parable of the sower with his disciples, and he adamantly tells them, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." He seems to be saying, "Folks, this is important, but you know how it is. Getting to the root of parables can be tricky." So Jesus gives examples. "The seed is the word of God, and in Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Now imagine that after his disciples asked again what the parable of the sower meant, Jesus had been able to give another example by holding up the sign, "You are now entering the mission field." And now the full scripture from this day is from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. "Soon afterwards he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to see him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, 'Let anyone with ears to hear listen.' Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance." The moving forward question for this day: when you leave the church this month, practice saying to yourself, "I am now entering the mission field." How do those words change your perspective about what you should be doing in the world? The commentary for Saturday, October 8th, begins with Luke chapter 8, verse 18. "Then pay attention to how you listen, for to those who have, more will be given. And from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away." When I've heard this reading from the Gospel of Luke in the past, I focused on the injustice that I perceived. How can it be fair that those who have little will lose what little they have? But as I prepared for this meditation, I began to spend time with the first part of verse 18. "Then pay attention to how you listen, for to those who have, more will be given." Perhaps a key instruction here is about our growth and our potential for growth in Christ if we are invested in expanding our understanding. Maybe, just maybe, with better listening, we're equipping ourselves to carry forth what we're hearing and learning. better positioning ourselves to live the evangelism that we're being called to do. And it may be that we who have listened a bit better will walk alongside Christ as he shares with those who may not have listened as well at first. And the full scripture for this day is from Luke 8, verses 16 to 21. No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Then pay attention to how you listen, for those who have, more will be given, and from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." But he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." The moving forward question for this day, are you listening? Or do you get stuck on other parts of Scripture that seem confounding? And the commentary for Sunday, October 9th, begins with Jeremiah 29, verse 7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Early in my career, my wife and I moved 4 times in 10 years, Georgia to Louisiana, Louisiana to Texas, Texas to New York, New York to Minnesota. And while we certainly were not in exile, we must have intuited Jeremiah's good advice because we became citizens of wherever we moved, and we worked for the welfare of the places we lived. Along with finding work, my wife became familiar with our new locations. Together, we located and joined Episcopal churches, and we volunteered and registered to vote. Because museums and cultural centers have always drawn us, we joined when we could or simply frequented programs and exhibits that interested us. We believe that our happiness in each new location came because we cared about where we were, not looking for the next move, but making the most of where we were. And the moving forward question for this day, there's a saying, "Bloom where you are planted." How do the words of Jeremiah fit within that context? How might you seek the welfare of the place where you live? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.